Maybe there is not a single psalm so powerful than the 23rd psalm. I believe it has a special meaning and different meanings for each one of us. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. And then in the New Testament, the Gospel according to Luke chapter 15, the first 10 verses. And now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. "Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost.' Just so, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Here ends our scripture reading. May it be that each and every one of us clearly hear and understand what God is saying to us in this time of worship. My friends, somehow it happened. A certain rich man lost his dog and his darling little dachshund called Scruffy. So this man was very, very upset, and he immediately started searching all over. But Scruffy was nowhere to be found. So he took the next step and placed a newspaper ad. And this time he was offering a reward for anyone who could help him find his dog. But nothing happened. The time went by, and every day he placed a new ad, and every time he made the reward a little higher. And finally, he reached the point where he was so desperate to find Scruffy that he offered a reward for $1,000. But guess what? Still there were no replies. So he just couldn't understand it. And one day he decided to go to the newspaper office himself and to talk to the editor. When he asked, the office boy said, "Well, the editor is not in, sir." He said, "Okay, get me the advertising manager." But he wasn't there either. Well, let me speak to the secretary. Well, the secretary wasn't there either. She's out too. Good grief, what's happening? All gone? Just you, the office boy? Yes, sir. They're all out looking for Scruffy. Well, this may be just a funny story, my friends, but one thing is for sure. If Scruffy ever got back home, it was because many motivated people were looking for it. It was because the owner loved so much that he would do anything and could not rest without searching for Scruffy. Yes, I think you've guessed it already. This is exactly what this parable of Jesus is all about. Jesus deeply cared for and had compassion for the lost, the lonely, the suffering, and the underdogs of society. Maybe that's why we so much love to sing, "Savior, like a shepherd lead us. Much we need your tender care. In your pleasant pastures feed us. For our use, your folds prepare. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, you have bought us, yours we are." My friends, that beautiful hymn is as close to the heart of the Jesus message as can be. As the true shepherd, he yearned for all to be saved. He cared for and he loved all as part of his flock. Listen to his words, and it comes to us with so much power, thou translated so many times through the centuries. The urgent question, which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? You know, friends, when I came to this, couldn't help but to think by myself, that's scary. My whole life I've been reading Scripture, teaching Scripture, learning Scripture. I can say parts of the Bible, not in English, but in my own language, I can say them without even thinking. And I think by myself, does it really mean everything to you? It makes me uncomfortable because there a question comes to us from our Savior. It comes from 20 centuries ago, and his question is, which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And that's the scary part. Because overall, but also here in Cocoa Beach, we are surrounded by people who have drifted away from church. Things have changed through the centuries. And Jesus teaches that we as his followers should be like the man who placed the advertisement for his dog. That man could not sleep, he could not rest while his beloved pet was still missing. Come to think of it, Jesus made this the primary focus of his life. Searching for the sheep that have lost contact with the shepherd. And much later, it also became the foundation of the early church and the church through the centuries. The church has lost its primary focus when it fails to search for those who are outside its fellowship. In far too many churches, All the energy and focus has been on the members inside the church. And that's not wrong. We should focus on the members inside the church. But the question of our Savior comes to us, what about those outside? Have we forgotten those outside the fold? In the parable of the lost sheep, Jesus is telling us that our focus should be on the searching for the lost sheep. The call is clear. Even if there is only one lost sheep out there, the shepherd of all wants us to bring it home. But as we know and expect, the lost sheep are not only outside the church. There are many sincere seekers on the inside as well. Friend, church membership has no saving power in itself. It is possible to be lost, alone, broken, and burdened with sin and shame. It's possible to be without a shepherd, even while sitting comfortably in church. When we first arrived in this country, now almost a quarter century ago, in our New Jersey Community Church, a retired colleague minister of mine became a member of the church there, and we became good friends. And one day he told me the reason for his early retirement. It's so long ago, but it's a story that still haunts me from time to time. He told me how the last church that he ever served formed a committee of volunteers that understood the parable of the lost sheep. And they decided to do something about the true mission of their church. So they worked hard, they prepared themselves, and full of enthusiasm, they shared their plans with others. And they went through the congregation and told people of what they were planning and what they were hoping to do. And before long, they were a little bit surprised. Because the first reaction that they got was, well, before we have to go after new members, we should really try to win back members already on our rolls, someone said. Oh, I like the church just the way it is now, said others. We don't want more people. I don't like a lot of strangers around me. Who wants strangers after all? We should just stick to our own. Well, it went through the processes, and finally the committee's report went back to their governing board. And as was to be expected, it was formally accepted, it was approved, and it was filed. And no one mentioned it after that. My friends, the church building still stands, but it is no longer a church. When the church died, an innovative business person bought and changed the pretty church into a huge restaurant. And from that day on, customers were sought, they were advertised for, they were invited, and they were welcomed from everywhere. The church died, but the business that came in its place is still thriving, as far as I know, to this very day. Recently, I conducted a wedding nearby, right here on the beach. It happens from time to time. And it's beautiful in nature out there, and I never mind doing that, because didn't someone say you're nearer to God's heart in a garden than anywhere else on earth? Well, I don't know, but it is sometimes beautiful if the weather allows. And after the wedding, one of the wedding guests, who were just a small group, told me, and amongst other things, he said, you know, I stopped going to church many years ago. And then as we were walking, he said to me that somehow his faith fell by the wayside. And then I can't remember his words, but I remember that I got it. He spoke of the longing and the emptiness that came into his life. So naturally, I did what many of you would have done, and what you could expect of me. I immediately invited him back to church, and I assured him that a warm welcome is waiting for him. But I remember that he turned serious and he asked, "Are you sure that I will be welcome there?" Of course, I told him, "My friend, we are waiting for you." It still bothers me. I did not ask for his name or his phone number. And I never heard from him again. And I guess I'll remember that with sadness, that day that I forgot to ask a phone number. Jesus said, "Come to me and I will give you rest." My friends, an old Scottish soldier who had fought many a war far away from home, finally came to the end of the road. He was sick and dying in one of our American hospitals. And he befriended the nurses and doctors. They came to know him and to like him. And he always spoke about his one desire, to see Scotland. Oh, to see Scotland and his old home just once again. Once again to walk in the heather of the Highlands. Once again to hear the bagpipes of the Scottish regiments. And the nurses came to love him and to care for him. And the night the old soldier died, a kind nurse secretly arranged for a Scottish bagpipe player to come and play under the old soldier's window. And as the sound of the bagpipe was heard, the dying old man lifted his head ever so slightly and asked, "What's that? What's that? Why, it's the regiments coming home. Listen, they're playing Scotland the Brave. That's the tune, yes, that's the tune. Thank God, I must be home. I'm home once more. Bonnie, Bonnie Scotland," were his last words as he passed away. How many people homesick for God have you and I brought home? Because that's what we really promised when we stood before God and his people, and when we became members of his church. We said that the mission of this church would be ours. How many people homesick for God are just waiting for one of us to step into their lives and into their darkness and to bring them back? Once again, maybe that's all this sermon really was. I was playing the bagpipes of God's love, of God's welcome, grace, and mercy for anyone longing to return to the fold of God's people. And who knows? Maybe sheep number 100 is with us here this morning. So if you have heard the bagpipes playing, sing with us. You're not alone. Just as I am, thou tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fighting and fears within, without. O Lamb, O God of God, I come, I come. How many of you, when Scruffy is gone, are willing to go and get him? I'm asking you in Jesus' name. While one sheep of the fold is still lost, doesn't we have something to do? Amen.